You're a doctor in the house.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Doctor.
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 And doctor.
It's time for Advanced Medicine Monday with Dr. Rashid Batar.
I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
I'm a doctor, not a mechanic.
I'm a doctor, not a coal miner.
The doctor is in.
They call him Flipper, Flipper, faster than lightning. No one you see is smarter than he.
And autism, I think, is a prime candidate where we've seen just a skyrocketing autism rate. Nobody knows exactly why. There's some people who are suspicious that it's connected to vaccines and triggers. The science right now is inconclusive, but we have to research it.
I understand that there are families that in some cases are concerned about the effect of vaccinations. The science is pretty indisputable. There is every reason to get vaccinated. There aren't reasons to not.
All right, we start some advanced medicine with Dr. Rashid Batar with Flipper, or otherwise known as Barack Obama, the candidate, then the president, initially. Do you remember that, Dr. Batar, by chance, that he was actually kind of on board going, yeah, there's some things we're not sure, the vaccines, people are saying it. Do you recall that?
I actually didn't really follow that part of it, Robert, so I honestly can't say that I do. I know that there were many things that, as far as flip-flopping, yes, but I didn't realize about the vaccines. I didn't even know that he'd made an opinion or had an opinion on the relationship between vaccines and autism, so I didn't.
Yeah, there were enough of his so-called supporters that wanted to see him win. Many of them are the same people we know today, the thinking moms that were putting information like they did for Michelle Bachmann. Even Hillary Clinton had said, you know, 4 or 8 years ago, oh, wait, maybe we should look into this. Now, as you heard the record scratch, as of yesterday, he came out and said, everybody should be. There's no question that they're 100%, and there's no reason not to, despite that. So I thought if President Obama could flip-flop on this, that we could do that, too. Because, you know, listen, the president, he's an example. So right now on the Robert Scott Bell Show, I'm going to come out and say vaccines are not dangerous. They're not harmful. They don't kill you. How's that?
Hey, whatever floats your boat, man.
You're too easy. Well, here's the new meme. Vaccines don't kill people. Doctors do.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good place to start. Here's the thing, Robert. You know that I don't give doctors any quarter. I hold them fully responsible. But it's really like when they talk about the gun issue. Okay, that's a good analogy here. We talk about guns and how guns are dangerous and how we should give up our gun rights in order to have a safer society and all those garbage arguments that are given from the people that don't support gun rights, don't support the Second Amendment. But guns, as we've said before, guns don't kill people. It's people that kill people. And when you sit down and start looking at this is almost, I think we've even talked about this on the air, if I'm not mistaken. We've said that equating guns or the right to possess a gun to people dying from gunshot wounds, unintentional gunshot wounds. And I think even in my book, I had done some equations to this to show how dangerous doctors are compared to guns. It was like a doctor was 997 times, or I think it turns out to like 99,000% more, 9,900% more dangerous than a gun. And was more likely to kill you. So equating guns to being dangerous is like equating a spoon as responsible for obesity. And that's just ludicrous. You can't blame the spoon you can't say that the reason we're all obese as a nation is because we have too many spoons, and it's the spoon's fault. We should confiscate all spoons, and we should put them all up, blah, blah, blah. Well, the vaccines, again, same thing. The principle of vaccination, we've talked about this over and over again, I'm not against it, you're not against it, but how we do it, the indiscriminate use of vaccinations and the doctors that are responsible for doing that. Some people say, well, it's not the doctor's fault, it's the big pharma's fault, and it's the government's fault for pushing that. Well, I think the doctors are they're the vehicle by which this atrocity is being committed. And it is not necessarily the fault of the vehicle, but the vehicle is still responsible. I mean, they've got their own minds. They're the ones that people aren't trusting the government, and they're not trusting Big Pharma. They're trusting the doctors. And so when the doctor says it, they take it as the, you know, God's spoken word.
The gospel truth, in other words. And so if we come back to that concept, I remember reading a quote of Dr. James Shannon. I think he was with NIH or some higher up government medical research institution. And Liam Sheff may remember this. I don't know. We got to bring him in here. But he said the only safe vaccine is a vaccine that is never used. Case in point, vaccines inert, just staying there, even if there's nasty stuff in them. They don't do anything until you inject them. And at that point, the danger is on. The death and mayhem is on. Liam Sheff, back on the Robert Scott Bell Show, reconnecting with our good friend, Dr. Batar. Liam, are you there?
I'm here.
Do you remember that quote by James Shannon, or was just that my memory of something I've looked at over the years?
I remember hearing the quote.
Okay.
You know, I have a slightly darker vision, slightly darker view on this than all of you. I'm amazed I look at the culture from maybe a slightly different perspective. I pull back, and I try to include as much history as I can, right? And I try to include the Victorian era and the eras before. And if you look at the ages that came right before ours, the Victorian era comes right before ours. The anti-vaccine movement was huge. It was very potent, very powerful. They called it blood poisoning back then. And they said, well, we don't want this. And one of my favorite playwrights, George Bernard Shaw, G.B. Shaw, wrote Pygmalion and other light classics, was on record, among other people, saying things like that vaccination, or whatever they would call it at the time, was a horrible reversion to the most degraded and abominable forms of tribal ritual, not to knock tribal ritual, which ought to have been made a criminal offense after the great epidemic of 1871. So he's talking about the smallpox epidemic that came about. And they all really understood this because they were injecting blood and pus. They were stabbing blood and pus into people's limbs. The amputation rate went up. Smallpox death rate went up. You know,
sepsis. I read that as well. That they were actually it was a violent revolution against the vaccinators. They would throw them out. I mean, literally, they would become criminals to the eyes of the public at that time.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that the thing that Don sent out that I didn't realize was Mahatma Gandhi's quote that this is almost a century ago, but Mahatma Gandhi said vaccination is a barbarous practice and one of the most fatal of all delusions current in our time. Conscientious objectors to vaccination should stand alone, if need be, against the whole world in defense of their conviction. And this is a direct quote from Mahatma Gandhi, and that's pretty amazing. I had no idea that even that far back, and of course, he's talking about back in the 1870s, I didn't even know there were conscientious objectors back then. I thought this was just something, a phenomena.
But that's how effective they've erased history and rewritten it. Case in point, why Liam digs so deep into that history, and you know what I've tried to do over the years in radio and broadcasting as well, because I had to unlearn the things I was taught to realize, oh my gosh, they took an eraser to almost everything. And now, of course, we're revealing these things once again.
Yeah, that's actually interesting because from a strategy standpoint, it makes sense that if you can take away the history and you can make people feel like, or the goal is at least trying to make people feel like that they are the potential of creating that illusion in the person's mind that you're just a whack job, you're a quack, you obviously don't know it, because if there had been a problem, somebody would have brought it up sometime in the past. But of course, if you erase the history, then all those conscientious objectors have been erased, as you said, and so there's nothing to fall back on. But this is so critical from a historical perspective, and honestly, I had no idea we were going to talk about this today. So this is a show that actually I'm actually glad the show is taking place. But something that nobody's mentioned, Robert, this marks our anniversary. You do know February 2nd. This is when we started 5 years ago.
That's right. Yeah, we are kicking into our fifth year since we launched 5 days a week, of course, Dr. Batar and Anchor Part. And we had talked about before launching that, you know, having you on board was a critical part of it. And your support over the years has been phenomenal, and where we've been able to take it, reaching out into the realm of the new media and even some of the old media, picking up on what we are doing all these years later.
Yeah, I didn't know whether you were going to bring this up or not, but February 2nd is the day that actually, at least I joined the show. I don't know when you joined 5 days.
That was it. That was the launch day.
Oh, was it? Okay. I thought I came on a couple of weeks afterwards. I didn't realize that. Well, that's good. But the thing is that to have this show, it's interesting that we didn't plan for anything on this show to be anything different, but to be talking about this and the 1870 history and Mahatma mm-hmm. Gandhi's objection to the vaccination aspect, this is all news to me. This is all new information that I wasn't aware of. And so it makes sense that this would be a perfect anniversary of our show that even the people on the show are learning something. So that's really good.
Well, and that's the thing. We try to learn something new every week. And, of course, Liam's bringing back the history that went out of style a long time ago, Liam, and I appreciate you for that.
Yeah, yeah. It's in the book. It's in official stories. It's there. It's at whale.to online. The anti-vaccine movement started as soon as Edward Jenner, or it started before. It started when Louis Pasteur was doing, you know, crazy stuff, grinding up dead animal brains, injecting it and shoving it into the craniums of other animals, into their stomachs. It was just, it's a strange form of ritualistic kind of voodoo. And because you do it in a laboratory, and because you eat some things or grow some things with other cells or fight a hemagglutinin or whatever you want to stimulate a cell culture with, and because most people don't know that you can do that, you're the magician. And then you tell them that it's perfect. And then they say, well, what about polio? And, you know, and we fixed polio. But they don't tell you that they sprayed DDT on the entire U.S. population in the polio years. They don't tell you that. Why would they? They don't need to tell you that. You need to just trust them. So, you know, I make all these little jokey Facebook things. That, mm-hmm. You know, that's what I do. And I took the one, remember Inigo Montoya from the Princess?
Yes, in fact, I was just going to bring that up. I've included it in today's show notes. Everybody go to robertscoutbell.com and see Liam Sheff's latest meme. It says Inigo Montoya from, what was that movie called? The Princess Bride. Yeah, you keep using that expression, peer review. I do not think that it means what you think it means. What does it mean? What does it mean? We're going to come back. Dr. Batar, Advanced Medicine, each and every week, the Medical Rewind, medicalrewind.com, if you miss it. And Liam will tell us what it really is meaning. In reality, man, we're having a great fifth anniversary show already. We'll be right back.
Can you repeat the part of the stuff where you said all about the things?
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show. Robert will be right back.
Rocking the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
All right, great discussion on this Advanced Medicine Monday. 5 years starting. Here we go. Anniversary time with Dr. Rasha Batar. Liam Sheff has joined us as well. And Dr. Batar, I mean, again, I love digging the history like this, but nobody better at researching it in many ways. Liam talking about the anti-vaccination history that has been wiped from history, and they are acting, as the mainstream media does, in defense of the medical cartels, as if this is a one-off, this is an anomaly. The few parents that are screaming out, or that doctor we interviewed last hour, Dr. Jack Wilson, they're the anomaly, but it turns out not so much, not so fast.
Yeah, and I think that highlighting that, the historical perspective, is something that I never even thought about before, Robert. It's something that really should be done. In fact, the information that Liam's book talks about, the history of medicine, and that Ty brings up also with the medical education component, how that whole process started and how it actually creates the implications today. We see the seed having been planted over 100 years ago in order to create this monstrosity that we've created now, which is directly or indirectly affecting every person on the planet. I think the historical perspective is actually the key. And in fact, this gives me an idea that I think we should talk about off the air.
Sure.
But I don't want to say anything because we know we have friends in other places that listen to us, right?
Oh, we have big fans. We have big fans at the Fear and Death Administration, especially.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'd rather do the shock and awe rather than talk about our plans of what we're going to do, because this is just brought a very, very focused and clear idea in my mind. We'll talk about that at the bottom of the hour.
Liam, how controlling, is this? All of the the anger that's coming out. They're trying to pit parent against parent, as you've been seeing this even a more concentrated way recently over the measles. I mean, never let a crisis go to waste. Anything different about the way it's playing out right now?
No. When the medieval church was up against critics for just essentially running, there were essentially a lot of guys being priests running brothels and taking indulgences, taking gold and silver coins from people to get into heaven or to promise them to get into heaven. The general population in the 1400s, 1500s got a little sick of that. And they said, well, we've had enough, you've stolen enough from us. At that point, the priesthood got smart. Probably one monk wrote a book called the Malleus Maleficarum, which is the Hammer of the Witches. And he decided that he was in charge along with the other priests and monks and abbeys and, prelates, of finding this scourge of witchery that existed in the general population of Europe. There were witches, and they flew on broomsticks, and you had to be very careful, and they might be among you. So you had to immediately, because they were pointing the finger at the power structure. The power structure pointed the finger back and said, among you, hidden among you, is a witch. Now be very careful. You have to just go find the witches now. And everybody, guess what? They turned inward, and they started chewing on each other, trying to figure out who the witches were. And meanwhile, the, very corrupt medieval Catholic Church went along selling plenary indulgences and making money. So that's the way it goes.
Well, and that's what we're seeing here with, the media fomenting this kind of fear and anger against the witches. Who are the witches now? The parents who are questioning vaccines, who have witnessed their children being taken from them via this injection. When the vaccines that are used, that's when they become harmful. And Dr. Bitar, again, you have been, in the medical profession for many years. You've been helping people out. A lot of people have been waking up. And I don't think that we're alone and isolated necessarily, but they'd like to have that perception reign so we would live in this fear and cower in fear.
Yeah, I think that when a force, a greater force, captures an enemy, what they call it, the op for the enemy, the first thing they want to do is they want to divide the enemy up so that the enemy cannot communicate with each other because of, they can plan, they can escape, they can do whatever. And I think this is part of the parcel of the hierarchy. They're basically trying to divide up individuals or people of the same like-mindedness by creating more of an isolationist type mentality by, creating that fear that, as Liam said, the witches, nobody's going to be talking about openly their opinion because they're afraid that they're going to be accused of being a witch or being a heretic or whatever you want to call it. And so they're trying to create oppression from within. And I think this type of information that we're putting out helps other people to realize the commonality of what the truth really is and the historical perspective of how deep it actually goes.
Right.
This is really, really good. This is a great show so far, I think.
Yes, you're not alone. And Liam Sheff is with us, Dr. Bitar, medicalrewind.com, and of course all the other places to hear the podcast. We'll find out what peer review really means. If you haven't seen the meme of Antigo Minoia, I can't say it right.
Live around the world,
the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell.
Healthy elimination is essential to high energy, a cheerful mood, and prevention of disease. Some of the founders of our modern holistic health thinking state that disease begins in a toxic colon. A toxic intestinal tract is the foundation for virtually all degenerative disease, and a clean and well-moving intestinal tract is the foundation of health.
I just want to say that you folks have an amazing product. I've taken whey protein products for years, and I've never noticed the results I have with your product. I've suffered with bouts of constipation most of my life. Within a few days of taking One World Whey, I noticed a dramatic change. Also, in the past few years, I've experienced symptoms associated with diabetes. I feel horrible when I've had too much sugar, and I've been getting the foot pain as well. But I've noticed in the past week or so, I'm not feeling bad anymore, and the foot pain is gone. I'm just finishing up a 5-pound tub I ordered and just got off the phone ordering more. I love your product. Thank you.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
I don't know.
taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Oh, Inigo Montoya. I got
that
wrong.
What did you say? You said like Amigo Toyota or something? What was he?
Antigo Minoya, I think I said.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was way off. I'm sorry. Oh, Dr. Bitar, Liam Sheff, all together again. We're talking some great stuff even off the air. Boy, oh boy, that we can do some things. But in this meme, Liam, and I don't think you've seen it, Dr. Bitar, but if you go to the website, you'll see it there. It's got the Inigo Montoya guy. And you said you keep using this expression peer review. I do not think that it means what you think it means. But Liam, can you describe or explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, well, the movie's funny, right? So yeah. The movie is Rob Reiner movie, and Mandy Patinkin was in it, and he always says, Burrito LaToya says, he says to Wallace Shawn's in it, and Wallace Shawn keeps saying, that's inconceivable, right? Yeah. So Mandy Patinkin, Inigo Montoya says, you keep using that expression. You keep using that expression. I do not think that means what you think it means. So I hear peer review all the time. Now, I have a very different view of peer review because I read history, read about the 19th, 20th century, 18th, 17th, 16th, 15th, 13th, 12th, 11th, 10th, 19th. You read about history, right? So when you read about that, you realize that there was a church and there were priests and prelates, and they peer reviewed stuff. You know, essentially they sat and argued about what was the truth. Now, nobody now would say that it's actually, no scientist would say that it's literally historically true, all the stuff that they argued about, but they thought it was true because they agreed that it was. But since the 18-something, you know, the Industrial Revolution, peer review, when it came around, meant we're the guys in charge. We're using oil and petroleum byproducts. So it occurred to me that a very important service we could do for the human species, especially the North American, internet-using intelligentsia, would be to come up with a list of things that was actually peer-reviewed that maybe wasn't such a good idea. And I put together a short list.
Okay, let's hear it.
Eugenics.
Okay.
The eugenics movement, for example, that was a huge hit in the first half of the century. They brought it over to Germany, made a big number out of it. You might have heard about that. World War II. Nuclear weapons, there's another one, peer-reviewed, very popular with some people. Fluoride, peer-reviewed. Thimerosal, or otherwise known as mercury, peer-reviewed. DDT, peer-reviewed all over the place. Agent Orange certainly got the review of its peers to be used in weapons overseas. Just ask the Vietnamese people how many cases of spinal bifida they have. Glyphosate, peer-reviewed. Chernobyl, nuclear power again, peer-reviewed. Fukushima, peer-reviewed. Mercury fillings, hey, we agree that mercury fillings are perfectly safe. They're in the mouth. What harm could they do there? AZT, used in the gay population, killed hundreds of thousands of gay men, peer-reviewed. Radiation for cancer, peer-reviewed. Ask Mary Curie or her husband. They're dead. They died of radiation poisoning, but they would have given the thumbs up if they weren't dead from radiation. What can we tell you? Mercury, everywhere that you go, is peer-reviewed. I just want to put that out there as a lovely pre-Valentine's Day gift to the internet. It's all peer-reviewed.
Well, Liam, here's the problem, though, Liam. Some of these things that you use examples of, though, they still consider them to be acceptable, like AZT, chemo, radiation. You know, it's weirdos like us that are opposed to it, but mainstream still says, oh, it's completely accepted. So I think a better example of things that are peer-reviewed that now even the conventional side of the house agrees is, you know, certainly was a mistake, are drugs like Vioxx that killed 55,000 people before they had to take it off the market, yet FDA-approved double-blind placebo-controlled crossover, multi-centered trials done and peer-reviewed, et cetera, et cetera. But even the conventional side of the house now says that was wrong. So that those types of examples, and actually all you have to do is watch late-night TV and watch the commercials of the attorneys that are telling or soliciting new clients for some drug that is now off the market that has caused all these, you know, if you've had, X, Y, and Z symptoms, and, you know, you've got a history of, myasthenia gravis, and you've been on such and such drug, contact, you know, whatever this attorney's law firm is, and free offer, you may be entitled to damages, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about. Every night, I think it's on late night,
sure.
Some drug.
Mm-hmm.
So those are probably the better examples rather than using the examples that we're talking about, that you just talked about, because so a lot of people say, well, exactly, that's my point. They are peer-reviewed, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with chemo and radiation and ADT and
Yeah, well, you know, if they're under that delusion, not a lot we can do to help them. That's true.
But we can help them. We can tell them. We can encourage them to get the ADT, chemo, and radiation and eliminate themselves. You know.
Okay, there is that. That's true. There is that. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, if we look at where this is going, guess what? Why are they screaming bloody murder over the vaccine issue? Because it's the one issue where attorneys can't advertise at night, have you been harmed by this vaccine? It's the one area they can kill and maim, do whatever they want, and they're still going to get their money. And the drugs are dangerous, and they know it. They lose a lot due to these lawsuits eventually. So very much what Liam says in that meme at the end, he says, peer review means that it makes money for the military, industrial, petrol, pharmaceutical industry, period, end of line. So why are they going to vaccines? They've been absolved.
Yeah, I think because they've got so many cool laws in place that would make a person... they would have to be questioned as to their status as a patriot because they would be violating things that have been passed in the Patriot Act. I have no idea what the vaccine industry, why they would be protected and why there's language in the Patriot Act that says that a pharmaceutical company can't be sued because of the vaccine manufacturing practices or what they're manufacturing. But I think that might have been rescinded. I don't know whether that's true or not, but I know that in the original Patriot Act, that was one of the things that they passed alongside with it, an attached bill, that vaccine manufacturers could not be sued. So these types of tactics, I think, that allow vaccine manufacturers to be protected more so than perhaps pharmaceutical...
well, then the drug manufacturers, they're not indemnified, but they are on the vaccine side of things. And, you know, tying it into Patriot Act and other things, we have an emergency or a rule of necessity. And, you start learning about Vattel, Law of Nations stuff, you realize things like the rule of necessity has no law. So you can be under the illusion that there's a constitution that protects the people from government, but it's an emergency. That's what the Patriot Act was. That's what rendition is. It's an emergency. We've got to torture. It's an emergency. If we don't, everybody's going to die. And under that guise of constant necessity, there is no longer rule, no rule of law, if you will.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. It's, you know, the pretense of protecting the public. That's how a lot of these agencies get their power, especially when it comes to healthcare. The FDA, the medical boards, it's because they're protecting the public. And I think it's, again, the pretense of the protection of the public, and that's how they get their power, and we allow them to get away with it. So that's a very, very good point.
There's an article up at Epoch Times based on what happened with Chris Christie today. He's over in England touring something to try and export pharmaceuticals back to the UK, back to the mother country. And he was asked about the measles outbreak in America. And he actually was a little bit softer, not as hard line as we heard Obama moments ago, about saying, well, yeah, there are some issues, but the parents should have a say in this, right? He didn't come out and said it because he also said, but in the end, the government gets a say. And then he was pilloried in the press instantly over this, and his people had to back down on it. And I was quoted in saying that, you know, people in the quest for, you know, immunological security, however fleeting and false that it is, they're willing to give up the freedom to say no to government-approved toxic injections. They are willing to just, you know, sacrifice their children. Many are no longer willing to do that. Many. Many more than we realize, I believe, and that's what we're seeing happen now.
Yeah, I think that as time goes on, and we've talked about this over the years, Robert, the increased consciousness, the universal consciousness being heightened and more people becoming aware and less people wanting to be part of the sheeple's camp and actually starting to think on their own. And I think we're in that third phase of all truth. You know, the first phase of all truth is ridicule. The second one is a violent opposition, and the third one is having accepted it as always being reality. And I think we're at that cusp between the second and third, and I think closer to the third, where, you know, they will have to at some point admit that, you know, they know this is all untrue. The problem is public just doesn't have enough information. So when you start looking at books like Sherry Tempany's book, where she talks about all the constituents within the vaccines, and any person who spends the time to read that part, and this is information from the CDC directly, you know, available. It's not something that's hidden. The logical question is, why in the world are we getting all these different DNA edits and mutated human cell lines and various DNA components from various other species and monkey brain and dog kidneys and all this stuff? Why? What's the purpose of that? It doesn't make any sense. And that's how you stimulate the brain to start now actively thinking on its own and leave the camp of the sheeples and actually start becoming more autonomous. And I think that that's, we're in that phase. We're getting very, very close to that transition between the second and third violent opposition to having accepted it as always being the truth.
Liam, have there been any rest points in eternity when we saw little pockets of this kind of consciousness break out for a short period of time? I realize that, you know, there's a long sordid history of humanity doing horrible things to other humans and even children. We cover them here. Unfortunately, we have to. But, you know, have any evidence at a certain point there's pushback, a mini golden age at any point?
Was there a mini golden age? There was considered a golden age in Athens, and I'm not going to be able to remember the date. If I say it's in the 400s, somebody will correct me and say it was in the 5 or the 3s, but I'm going to say it's the 400s. It wasn't, though. It was probably the 3s. And the golden age consisted of Pericles of Athens deciding that he was going to make Athens of that era the most beautiful place in the world. He was criticized. He had a Parthenon designed that had subtly curving lines so that no matter how you look at it, it always looks perfectly geometrical. You can't tell there are any curves. It's astounding. Everybody agreed that he was great. Now, he then decided that for Athens to really prove that it was great, it had to go to war with Sparta, and then it got lost in like a 27-year civil war that totally destroyed the city-state. By the way, during that golden period, women had no vote, and really weren't much more than household slaves, and it was more appropriate for men to date, you know, boys who were coming of age. So that's considered a golden age. So does that answer your question?
Well, no, I ask it seriously because obviously, you know, on one level, we do have evidence of people seeing through the garbage. They've suffered enough, and they're wanting to do something better, something different, no longer being enslaved on some level or maybe every level we can be aware of. I'm not naive about this, but I will say and acknowledge that there's evidence of some shift taking place here. And we're doing it with Dr. Bazar. But we come back, we'll find out about it. All right, stand by. We got one more segment, Advanced Medicine. Dr. Rashid Bitar, medicalrewind.com. If you ever miss an episode, easy way to get to it. And robertscottbell.com for all of the links.
Who'd you say that masked man was?
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
Robert Scott Bell.
Here I come to save the day.
Out of medical propaganda. Here's Robert.
All right, if you want to link through it, the show notes at robertscottbell.com. You'll also find Dr. Bitar's international best-selling book, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away, which, by the way, thanks for sending me that box. I was at a health fair, and I put it up as one of the books as a giveaway, so we got the spotlight and talk about you this past weekend, Dr. Bitar, which is great. Of course, official stories by Liam Sheff, many more things to come from him, and a great episode of Advanced Medicine. This is, for me, a healing ministry. I mean, this is what I live, eat, sleep, and breathe, to bring this kind of healing back, or the power to heal, the power to see through these things, and then you get to decide what you want to do with it.
The information has, I think, made an impact in enough people's lives, Robert, that we know that even if it disimpacts one person, as we said before, even if it disimpacts one person a week, it's well worth the time and the effort. And I, for one, certainly appreciate you and Don making it so much easier for me to get on and say whatever few cents worth that I have to say and be able to say it in a manner that allows the world to, you know, hear at least that opinion. And if that helps somebody, then, I'm grateful.
One of these weeks we're going to put you on show planning and prep, and then we'll just show up and hang out with you.
Yes. Well, I think that you told me that in all your years of radio, I mean, I'm the least prepared person, isn't that something like that you said?
Yeah, I didn't know I was going to tell the public that, but you've just done that. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we literally do not plan anything. I mean, I get a message from you saying, hey, what number should I call you at? And that's how we start the show, and that's it.
Well, we try to. I mean, Don, we work on these things. We send you stuff, and it's like, no, I didn't read the email. No, I didn't open it. I couldn't find it.
Today I sent it twice and forwarded it once. So apparently that did the trick.
That's the trick. Yeah, send it twice.
Well, last, last week and this week, I told you guys that I got it. I didn't say that I read it. I just said
yes,
I got
you
it.
Got it exactly. So look out, Liam. When you're sending something to Batar, you don't know what's going to happen.
I tell people. I tell them on purpose, right up front. You know, if they're going to send me an email, I get over 1,000 emails a day. I don't even know. There's no way I could go through it. So if it's something that's important, I always have them send it to my assistant because that way she'll point it out
to you. Okay. All right. So duly noted. Duly noted. Don, if we really need to get him something.
So, Robert, I want to come back on and talk about this novel I'm writing.
The novel. Oh, you're writing a novel. Yeah. Is this your first really major work of fiction, so to speak?
Yes. Despite what the few critics of Official Stories who didn't want to hear it say, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's you know, I've been talking a lot about the history, the anthropological history, and the S word, sex. So it's really about that. It's a fictionalized autobiography of about 10 years ago in my life and everybody that I knew, and a lot of changes. Nobody will, you know, it's not exactly me, and it's not exactly them. But I wanted to tell a story that was true as I do all the research about it. You know, the anthropological stuff. It shook my memory cage open, and you know, I just remembered a lot. It's been fun to write. So hope to come back and talk about that.
Well, yeah, and also the medical kidnap stuff.
It'll surprise your audience.
Yeah, but the medical kidnap stuff, you've been through some of these things. You've blown stories wide open on some of these things that we're covering now, so there's a lot more to do. And
the dark stuff, yeah. Kidnapping is right in my history book. It's right there in Official Stories. It's disgusting, and it happens. It's been happening for decades.
Yeah, Dr. Batar, we're now covering stories out of Arizona, for instance, where Child Protective Services taking children from families, from moms and dads, because the hospitals and the doctors there have committed overt medical malpractice. And they realize by taking the children out of the possession of their parents, they no longer have grounds or standing to sue on malpractice issues.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're saying that...
Right.
You're saying that by just taking the child away, the parent can't sue now for malpractice?
That is correct, because no longer are they in their custody. And without the custody, you know, there's nothing. The state now holds them. And so the state's not going to sue based on malpractice. The state licenses the doctors who malpractice. So we're seeing this collusion and corruption to protect a very dangerous medical complex, a profit hospital for profit center. And we're seeing this pattern emerge, at least for us to see it emerge much more frequently. The pattern is very clear now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Well, with that, man, what a great show. 5 years, entering our fifth year. Thank you, Liam, for joining us today. That was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, Dr. Batar, as always, thank you for helping us put this healing ministry out to the world as we do each and every week.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to do so, Robert.
Well, what do we got to tell? What do we got to tell them?
That the power to heal is yours.
Yes, it is, my friends. Back tomorrow. Thanks for being here.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.